and his wife's in absentia. Amos carries the MDiv from Fuller Seminary. He is what I would consider one of the foremost Pentecostal scholars from Africa today, writing and saying some things that need to be said in the Pentecostal realm in Southern Africa. But the Lord has particularly given him a passion for church planting. He is pastoring one of the largest, if not the largest, Assemblies of God churches in South Africa. That church has then in turn mothered several others that are thriving, strong works in the area that I spent my boyhood. The Lord has given him particular favor with young people, many, many of whom were key to the dismantling and the overthrow finally of apartheid in South Africa. So the Lord has given him some great favor. I'm sure he'll tell you a little bit about the current situation there. Perhaps it is a little different than you might perceive or might be reading in the news or watching on television. A lot of things I could say, but there are many acquaintances in our lives. We usually number our friends on one hand, maybe two. Amos is a dear friend. We have been close friends, I would say like brothers, for a long time. So it is my joy to introduce to you my friend, Amos Makupi.
I offer you greetings in the name of Jesus. And I want to thank James for the nice words, good words that he said about me. And I'm still under culture shock. I'm going under culture shock. I've just been here for, 2 weeks? And you speak very fast. So bear with me. But it's an honest fact, and I appreciate James very much. He's my friend. We have been friends for more than 25 years. And even before we knew that we'll be in ministry together, I used to be a caddy. You know, what is a caddy? Am I right? It's a caddy? Yeah. And he would come around and with his dad at the golf course, and I will be involved in that. And we have been friends for many years. They have been very influential in our lives, Donella and James, and their kids, James Jr., I call him James Jr., and Josh. They're not just friends. These people are part of our family. He used to live in the township where I grew up, so I'm not afraid of him. You know, in South Africa, sometimes we are afraid of white people, if I may use that term, with due respect, but we are not afraid of him. And so when I came here, I thought of them, and I'm just thankful that he said good words about me. I'm torn apart. I don't know what to speak about. I want to share a little about South Africa, but I also want to share a little about the Word of God. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak about being in the wilderness and try to use that to show that you can be in the wilderness as an individual, but as a church, we can be in the wilderness. And as a country, we can be in the wilderness. And I'm going to use South Africa here as a reference. You remember when God led his people out of Egypt to the Promised Land? And the Bible says that they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Some of us cannot be in a service for 1 hour. And here are people in the wilderness for 40 years. They knew where they were going, from Egypt to the Promised Land. But they did not know how to get to the Promised Land. They knew that they are from Egypt, from slavery, and that they have a land out there. They have to go through the desert, through the wilderness, in order to get to the Promised Land. Now, a desert, I have to be honest, that I personally think that a desert is a dangerous place because there are no lights. We call them robots in South Africa. There are no robots. There are no lights. There are no streets. In fact, we do not have a, at least we know from the Bible that the Israelites did not have a compass. Am I right, James? They did not have a compass to point to them that now you are going to the north or to the south. They depended upon the Holy Spirit. They depended upon the leadership of God. And sometimes God would stop them and say, you are going to tent here for 3 months. Sometimes God would say 3 days. And I guess they would ask, why that time 3 months and now 3 days? And the only person who knew where they were going was God. So this is where we are in South Africa. Most of us, you know, we wanted to see apartheid. We call it apartheid. We wanted to see apartheid gone, dismantled. But it's also sad to say, unfortunately, as a church, with due respect, we did not prepare very well as to what are we going to do after apartheid is dismantled. So you see, we are in a wilderness. We know that it is our work to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, because he's the Savior of the world. But you see, in South Africa, people have been abused by the system, structured evil, and they were depending upon witch doctors. Even now, witch doctors are still there, who promise them hope. As a matter of fact, I have a small church in a village about 60 kilometers from our township. We pitched a tent there, put up a tent last year, March, for 3 months. And I was preaching there, telling young people and adults to come to Jesus. And here is an elderly person, about 70, say 75 years of age. She grew up under apartheid, the apartheid system, her children, and at the same time, she had put her faith in witch doctors. And she had been tormented by what we call tokolosi. I don't know what would that be in English. But a Christian would say the demonic spirits. These are animals which are really demonic, and they would strangle a person during the evening, and they would tell you not to talk to anybody about these things, because they're going to kill you. So this elderly person, in order to get rid of these things, you have to get a better witch doctor. She has lost her husband, she has lost her family, her children, and she's alone by herself. She has lost money. Finally, she decided, I'm going to the tent, I'm going to the church, and I'm going to talk to the pastor about what I'm undergoing. Whatever happens to me, fine. So she came and mentioned to me, I said, well, look, we are going to worship in that house because I believe that demons should run when they see us as Christians. By the way, the church is offensive, not defensive. So we chase demons out. That's the normal practice. So she came and said, this is my problem. I said, fine, after church, we are going to your house. And I took some young people with me and other elderly people who are born again, filled with the Spirit. We went into this house and actually worshiped God in that house. She has been driven out by demons. That house now belongs to them. We said, in the name of Jesus, we are going to worship in that house. And you know the story. Jesus drove out the demons. The Holy Spirit drove out demons. And for the first time in many years, this woman got her house back. So you see, in South Africa, there are people who are depending upon witch doctors. There are others who are depending upon politicians. Those who have been promised that they are going to live good lives. As a matter of fact, in one newspaper, there was a complaint from the white population that the ANC is going to give black people their houses. Because their houses are nicer. They live in cities and towns. We live out there in the villages and townships. So these are the problems that we face. Others depend upon monies. So it's a dangerous place. This is a wilderness for us. We know where we are going, but we do not know when and where. And we didn't even prepare. How are we going to get there? Now, the ANC, the African National Congress, which is the ruling party right now in South Africa, they are not very popular with Christianity. Rather, Christianity is not very popular with them. They are introducing Marxism through education. If you know Marxism very well, you are able to see and discern what they are trying to do. I used to work for a college of education and as head of department of religious education and biblical studies. And it's part of the law today that biblical studies would not be taught anymore in schools. No more religious education, Christian religious education. And if we want to introduce religious education, then we should accept African traditional religion in schools. That is now witch doctors, worship of ancestors, and so on. And we should give room to Marxism as well. We should educate children, young children, from age 7, how to obtain salvation. And through Marxism, salvation is obtained not by faith, but by a revolution. So we need your prayers in the first place. We need your prayers that as we start churches, we should start churches. In fact, that's a burden in my heart. We should start churches with schools, Christian schools, where we can communicate Christ through education, where we can teach children about Jesus when the communists are busy training others about whatever. Because you see, if we don't do that as a church, within the next 10, 20 years, our country would be ruled by pagans. And they will be telling us, no more Bibles. So I ask your prayers. First, to pray that we should start churches with schools, schools which will present Christ, schools which would teach and communicate Christ through education, because we are building leaders of tomorrow. Those who have Christ as Lord and Savior, who have been taught mathematics, English, what have you, but from a Christian standpoint, they can stand up tomorrow and say, no communism, no socialism, no African traditional religion. Jesus has the last word. James is in Korea, Kokopeo, Rapela, Hape, Okatla, Karkifidit. And I'm going to ask my friend James to come up front just to close in prayer.
Would you stand with me? Great Father, our Heavenly Father, you know, Lord, what dangers there are and how the good Christian people who love you have suffered for your namesake in South Africa. Suffered not only the obvious, the physical persecutions, but who have suffered at the hands of those who would twist the mind, who would impose upon entire races of people the understanding of their inferiority and their lowly place in life. Hallelujah, that evil system has been dismantled. But Lord, I pray that in the vacuum in its place, that there would not be given an inroad to even more subtle and devious systems of thought that would bring ideologies in place of that which is good and right and true, prevent the gospel from being perceived and presented as a white man's religion. Prevent, Lord, the gospel from being undermined by traditional religious ways, by Marxist socialist ways. But Lord, I pray that the great revival for which many of us have prayed in South Africa and in Southern Africa that has not been there would sweep over the land. That you would demonstrate who you are. Just as in days of old in that land of Egypt, when the traditional healers and magicians and witch doctors were able to do great and marvelous things, yet you had to demonstrate that there is only one God. I pray for the ministry of the Mukupis. You alone know what they have suffered. I think of Philemon and what he suffered last year at the hands of white men. I think of Gladys and what she endured. Their own flesh and blood. I think of other men and women who have suffered for your name's sake, but who, like Amos and Sophie, have said, I will refuse to be beaten down, for we are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. For we bear about in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life may be manifest. Thank you, Lord, for such ministries. I pray that you'd help us, help me, not to forget. In the life we live, in the context of our own well-being, that the church at large has many contexts and suffers many things. We pray, Lord, that one day we would be able to join together before your throne with the many. And we know that our response to you will be, we merely did what you asked us to do. And for your name's sake, we prayed, we preached, and we persevered. We bless you. We bless you for what you have done in Amos and Sophie and their children and their ministry. Thank you, Lord, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a white man's nor a black man's religion, but that you loved the children of the world. Would you sing that with me as a concluding hymn? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Go and God bless you this morning. Jesus loves the little children.